All right, so one thing that's really important for us too at Meridian is we want everyone to be seen. And if there's anything that you want prayed for this morning, if you're on Facebook this morning or YouTube, we have YouTube live too now, we're streaming to both simultaneously. Feel free to reach out to somebody maybe in that feed or make a comment if you're comfortable with that. If you're in the building this morning, at the end of the service, come forward if you want to be prayed over or talk about something, because we want everybody to have a chance for that, and sometimes we just need to know that there's something that you're going through. So we invite you to take the first step with that as we're praying to be a church that prays for people. Again, a church where people are baptized, where people come to know Christ. If maybe there's something in you where God's speaking to you about being baptized, Pentecost Sunday would be a great Sunday to make that decision. Again, let somebody know. Come up front at the end of the service. Message us at the church or on the Facebook feed or however you want to do that. So I wanted to get that out there because we're in this thing together. My son Caleb is up in the sound booth, in the media booth, and he's running the slides. And he said, "Hey, Caleb," I can see him waving, he's back there. He's 12, and he asked me this week, he said, "So, Dad, I noticed you've been doing this series, Surviving the Storm, for a long time, like about all year. How much longer are you going to keep doing it?" And because I'm a pastor, you know, I don't have a short answer. So I'll give you the long answer, right? That's just what you want to hear. Short answer I told Caleb was this was the next to last one. Next week will be the last one. But I'm not so sure. We may sneak another one in June. But anyway, as long as I'm a pastor somewhere, the Sermon on the Mount is going to be talked about often. Because my thoughts on Jesus' Sermon on the Mount is just something that as people who follow Jesus, we need to hear over and over. And one thing that I even do, and I tell you this not to boast or to impress you, but I have the sermon memorized. And at least once a month when I'm working out, I just go over it in my head, the words, like making sure I keep it close to my heart and memorized. And that's not, that I think there's a lot of value in that and teaching it and memorizing it and listening to it. But as the title points to, Jesus said, there's going to be a storm at the end. So this title, Surviving the Storm, is from Jesus' closing illustration, two people who build a house. One house was on a solid foundation. It was on a rock. And there was a storm that blew in. There was wind. There was a flood. And that house survived. And there was another house that was built on sand, a flimsier, an easier foundation. And when the storm came in, it destroyed that house. And Jesus said that those who survive the storms are those who hear his words, and practice them. And the one who didn't survive the storm was the one who heard the words and didn't practice them. So again, there's value in hearing these words, but I'm going to say it's much harder to live the words. It is. It's much harder to practice the words. Even though I may have this sermon memorized, these words memorized, I'm not 100% practicer of these. As we're looking at this, now we're kind of leading up to the end of it, and we're going to look at Matthew 7, verses 13 through 14 today, and because I think these are really important and there's not a great way to get into the next part, we're going to stay here in the Sermon on the Mount. So Jesus said, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." Now, other translations, maybe you have a different translation, and other ways that people translate this, because Jesus spoke it in Aramaic, a language of his day, and it was written down in what's called Koine Greek. It's a version of Greek that was active in that time. And now we're in 2,000 years later in English. So sometimes it's just not real simple about how to translate these words spoken in Aramaic, written down in Greek, and translate it into English. But so there's a few ways of looking at this. And another way that we could broaden our understanding of what Jesus is saying here. Because another way you could say, wide is the gate, broad is the road. Another translation is easy. Easy is the way that leads to destruction. It's really easy. And another way that we could say, small is the gate, narrow is the road, is hard is the road that leads to life. So I want to focus on Jesus' teaching here and thinking about how the path, the way to destruction is easy, the way to life is hard. So let's look at that first part. Again, look at the first part. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. Easy is the way that leads to destruction. Many enter through it. There's a psychologist named Jonathan Haidt who wrote a book called The Righteous Mind. And in it, he says this: when societies lose their grip on individuals, allowing all to do as they please, the result is often a decrease in happiness and an increase in suicide. It's kind of surprising to me. I would think that the more freedom, you know, we're Americans, we love freedom and liberty and everybody being able to make their own choices. But he says, and Haidt is not a Christian, he's writing as a scientist studying the mind, but he says, and a sociologist too, looking at studies of civilizations. So when societies, when everybody is allowed to do as they please, no standards, anarchy almost, the result is often a decrease in happiness and an increase in suicide. I mean, again, it sounds good for everybody if everybody can just do as they please, you know, live and let live. But according to him, the result of this, everybody just doing as they please, maybe hedonism, is misery and death. Misery and death. Now, there's several books in the Old Testament that aren't always good for kids to read. I wouldn't recommend that kids just read Genesis, just start and read all of Genesis, because it gets R-rated and pretty nasty and gory in places. And another one of those books that's really tough, so if you're an adult and you think the Bible is boring, go ahead and read the book of Judges. Yeah, now, you may not like the book of Judges, but it's not boring. It's not boring, and there's a lot of weird, difficult details to wrestle with in the book of Judges. And I think, as I've thought about, like, why have a book like Judges in the Bible? Why is it one of the 66 books for us to read when you read about several really bad things that happen? Maybe details that it's hard to see how they're helpful. But I think part of the key of Judges is found in the end. Something that's said earlier in Judges, but again, Judges 21:25, there's this statement that caps the book of Judges. So I think when you read everything in there, it really helps to pay attention, because I think that the author of Judges is tipping his hand as why even read Judges? What's the point of it being in the Bible? Judges 21:25, it says, "In those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as they saw fit." I mean, that sounds kind of good to me. I don't know about you. No government, no politicians, no political leaders. Or like, hey, if we just got rid of them all, right, and we could just do what we, as we saw, it'd be pretty good, right? Well, maybe you'd think so. Maybe somebody like me would think so. But again, the author of Judges is saying it might sound great, but the results, again, are not always there. In the book of Judges, the results are disastrous. People are doing as they saw. People are doing what they think is the right thing, but without any sort of standards or expectations, it gets bad in a hurry. Now, as we're looking at what Jesus said, you know, the road is hard that leads to life, right? I mean, that doesn't sound good to me. I like easy better than hard. I don't know about you, but I like easy over hard. But one thing we want to point out here is that the road is hard. Hard is not a synonym of bad, is it? Hard is not a synonym of bad. It's not, Jesus isn't saying the road is bad. The road is misery. Just endure it all and then you get to escape to heaven at the end if you get through everything. Now hard, so hard again is, you probably had years in school where maybe you were challenged by a teacher or a coach that really challenged you, or a time when you were challenged, and you look back and you say, that road, that year was hard, but it was my best year. I was challenged, but I grew, because hard is not bad. In the book Soul Keeping by John Ortberg, he says this, in the Bible, God never gives anyone an easy job. God never comes to Abraham or Moses or Esther and says, I'd like you to do me a favor, but it really shouldn't take much time. I wouldn't want it to inconvenience you. He says, you should expect that the world will be hard and that our assignments will be hard. We have these examples in Scripture of people who had these hard assignments, and it's not because they were bad. It's just that they were hard. As Jesus said, listen to Jesus' words in Matthew 11, 28 and 30. Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, easy, John Ortberg goes on to say, easy is a soul word, not a circumstance word, not an assignment word. In other words, God doesn't give easy assignments. Aim at having easy circumstances and life will be hard all around. Aim at having an easy soul, and your capacity for tackling hard assignments will actually grow. The soul was not made for an easy life. The soul was made for an easy yoke. So what is an easy yoke, right? It's not an egg yolk, right? It seems to be something Jesus was talking about when you're exhausted. Come on, laugh at the dad joke, all right? Thank you, I'm trying. Caleb's like, okay. That made up for having a super long series. Caleb was clapping from the booth of my dad joke. Okay. So it's not an egg yolk, right? A lot of biblical commentators think it's like an oxen yolk, where oxen were yoked together. They were joined together to help share the load. So it seems like Jesus is saying in this easy yoke part, but he's saying, you know, come to me, what? Not people who are living on easy street, people who are weary, people who have been burdened, people who have been having some hard assignments. And he said, my yoke is easy. Seems like Jesus was communicating, I'm going to help you with the hard assignments of life. There are going to be hard stuff that we have to go through. There's a storm coming at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. It's coming. But I'm going to help you with it. We're going to survive. So let's, again, look at the last part of that sermon on this Sermon on the Mount verse that we're looking at today. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Okay, narrow is the road, hard is the road that leads to life. Only a few find it. There was a classic book that came out a few decades ago that's still in print and doing well, called The Road Less Traveled, written by a psychologist named M. Scott Peck. And it has this really classic beginning. You know, some books, you know, Once Upon a Time, you know, in a galaxy far, far away, you know, there's some classic starts. It was the best of time. It was the worst of times. This is one of those. The Road Less Traveled starts with this sentence. Life is difficult. Now, isn't that a great first sentence? Don't you love it? I mean, it's honest, right? And it's something that we need to hear. Hey, life's difficult. Life is difficult, period. Difficult is not a synonym of bad. Life's just difficult. And he goes on to talk about how we need to acknowledge that and accept it, because it doesn't matter. It just is. Life is difficult. Jesus' right-hand man, Peter, seemed to be reminding us that life is difficult. In what he said, he wrote this in 1 Peter 4:12. He said, dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. In other words, life is difficult. If your life is difficult, don't be surprised by it. That's the nature of life. It's we're created to go through stuff that's hard. And as Jesus in his famous parable mentions this too, he talks about a farmer that goes out and sows seed. And he says this about some of the seed. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Now Jesus said again, we're going to be tested. That we're going to, as followers of Christ, we're called to sow. We're called to sow generously. Sow, and not all the seed that we scatter is going to grow. And the troubles of life can choke it out. Not all houses survive storms. But we are going to get tested. But here's, I think, the really good part of this. No test, no testimony. It doesn't happen. If you want to hear a good testimony, which who doesn't love a good testimony? A story of someone who's made it through? That's people who've been tested. Testimonies don't come without tests. Every miracle starts with a problem. Every healing starts with a sickness, right? A pain. Every resurrection starts with a death. And every testimony starts with a test, yes. So there's good. In order to survive these storms that, again, we just... If I could make your storms go away, I would probably do that, and it would definitely be the wrong call. Because God has built us to go through storms that can season us and give us testimonies. In order to survive, we can practice these words as scripture that we use a lot here. John 16:33, Jesus said, "In this world you will have trouble." Life is difficult, period. Challenges are coming. That's why we challenge each other, because we know every one of us is going through a test right now. Every one of us is going through difficulties, and if we're not right now, we will be. So we challenge each other because they're coming, and we want to be able to deal with the trouble that we have. But then Jesus says next, "But take heart, I have overcome the world." We want to encourage each other. Yeah, it's hard, but we're going to get through it. Jesus overcame, and we will too. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of his testimony, right? The word of our testimony. We can be encouraged. So let the storm rage on, right? Sing it, Elsa. Let the storm rage on. While it does, Jesus is asleep in the boat. And at any time, he can wake up and say, "Peace, be still." The storms may be difficult, but again, that doesn't mean they're bad. That doesn't mean they're bad. That name, Road Less Traveled, comes from a famous poem by Robert Frost called "A Road Not Taken." And it's from these classic lines at the end where Frost writes this: "Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference." Now, I say this carefully because I'm not a poem critic. I have read this poem a few times, and I did read some of the criticism of this or some of the, you know, comments about what it means. And I think what you're supposed to say as a poet is what this means to me. So I'll say it what I think this means. What this means to me is Frost is here not saying life is hard, or the road is hard. He's more saying life is an adventure. This is less about just the difficulty of the road less traveled and more about the adventure, the good that can happen when we have the choice between the one maybe everybody's doing and the one that is less traveled, but it's a path of discovery. If you had a choice between an easy life with a disappointing end or a hard life that was fulfilling, which one would you choose, right? I mean, I like easy over hard, but I also like adventure over boring. And I think most of us, I like meaning and fulfillment over complacency and nothing. The road is narrow. The road is hard. But again, I think we'd be remiss just to focus on the hard without the good, without the adventure, without the challenge. My family loves the J.R.R. Tolkien stories, The Hobbit, The Lord of the Rings. And in those stories, there are hobbits that are living in the safety and comfort of the Shire, where life is pretty easy until one day they're interrupted and invited to go on the adventure of a lifetime. It's dangerous, it comes with all kinds of twists and turns, and it's hard. But a hobbit is never disappointed at the end of it all, that they chose adventure and risk over just the safety of the Shire. And I think, again, as we look at the application today, it's simple, but it's not easy. It's take the road less traveled. It's follow the path God leads out in front of us, life and death, maybe narrow and broad, easy, difficult, maybe adventure or death. Choose that life. As I was telling Jenny about the verses I was going to be talking about today, she gave me this quote from St. Catherine of Siena, who said, "All the way to heaven is heaven because Jesus said, I am the way. I believe," okay, so it's so good and so right. The way is maybe hard, but the way is heaven because Jesus is the way. Again, and he promised us that his yoke is easy. He's going to help us with it as he leads us on the adventure that maybe sometimes we wonder if we're going to survive the storm. But as long as we're yoked with Christ, we don't have to worry about it because he promises that he's the way. This morning, if you sense God pulling you and you want to follow Jesus, I want to encourage you to pray this prayer with me. It's a simple prayer of inviting Jesus to lead and us to follow to be his disciples. Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And I want to follow wherever he leads. I trust that where you lead is good. Please give me your Holy Spirit to lead me away from the path of death and onto the path of life. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I started with the Caleb, and I'm going to end with the Caleb, who that Caleb is named after. Caleb, from the Bible, did not settle for the path of least resistance. There's a story about him when he was a young man. He went out as one of 12 spies, and most were afraid. And he lived in a world where people were afraid and wanted to turn back, and he never did. He didn't want the easy way. He wanted the way that God had for them. And this is one of the ways that it's described in Numbers 32, 11 and 12. It says, talking about those people and how it was a time of fear, but Caleb was different. It says, "Not one of those, the people who are afraid, will see the land that I promised, except for Caleb. And Joshua. For they followed the Lord wholeheartedly." Now, at 85 years old, when Caleb was 85 years old, he remembered the time when he wanted to go forward, when God called them forward, and the other Israelites shrank back and were too afraid to go where God was calling them to go. They opted for what they thought was the easy way, and they missed out on the promised land. This is what Caleb says as an 85-year-old man. To Joshua, his fellow man of faith, he says this, Joshua 24:11-12, "I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised to me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said." Caleb wasn't the guy to just kick it up in retirement and watch TV and content to lay on the beach the whole time. He embraced adventure. He stayed strong to the end, and he got to the promised land. Will you pray with me? Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.